Amen. Yes. Last week we talked about entering into the rest. And for one thing, we know that Jesus is a better rest, that there are spiritual levels of rest in addition to the natural rest of a day. Let me start off with one of the verses that we kind of finished with last week in Hebrews. It'll be the third chapter, and I think about verse 17. Yeah, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not? You're going to have to turn that fan off. That they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's just take a couple more verses. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, let us try to discover why they could not enter in. Let us start off with a covenant that God made with Abraham. He made a promise, he made a covenant. He told him that his seed was going to, he was to go into the land of Canaan. He was to be a sojourner there, and even told him that they would be in bondage for a season of time, but eventually that he would come and bring them out. Now that's a covenant that God made. The problem, we would call it a problem. Apparently it wasn't that big a problem to God, but the problem was there was a generation of people that did not want to enter. They did not want to believe because faith was required, and there were other issues, other problems in their lives that hindered them from entering in to the covenant, shall we say, entering in to the fulfillment of a covenant. Brethren, has God not given us a covenant that we can be that we can be sons of God? Do we not know that Jesus, the captain, amen, plans to bring many sons with him into this glory that he has covenanted to us? There is a season, brethren, at the end of this age, coming into the new time, a 3.5 year season, and I believe we have a covenant that we can live and walk. There will be a people can live and walk in the fullness of Christ, as Christ walked here on the earth during his 3.5 years. It is the 70th week, the last week of Daniel's 70 years, the week that was cut off in the midst of the week because he was cut off. But the remainder of that 3.5 years remains yet for those who will be in Christ for that period. All right, now let's look at what the problem was in their day. We go to Exodus chapter 6, and Moses is just coming back from the backside of the desert where he spent 40 years, and he's bringing the good news to them. Now listen how they responded to that. Chapter 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Amen. Whenever God says, I am, I tell you what, brethren, you've got some power in that word, in that name. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah. Amen. Jehovah. What is this Jehovah? Yahweh, isn't it? Was I not known? In other words, he hadn't revealed that name yet to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, amen, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. In other words, their groaning and their prayers have not gone unheard. Now, they didn't get answered immediately, but in God's time, they will be answered. Brethren, our cries to bring in the fullness of the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom not only in this earth, but in that earth in which we dwell. Amen. God will answer that prayer. That prayer is in the process of being answered. And how are we going to respond? Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, Amen. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under bondage of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Ye shall know that I am, there's that I am again, the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. Now, you stand in that congregation and you hear Moses make that announcement. What is going to be your response to what he has said? Well, the next verse. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Brethren, the first problem was the bondage of their own soul. They were not able to rise above that. They were not able to believe that anything could ever be any different. I wonder how that woman at the well felt when Jesus began to expose the awful circumstances of her life. He must have told her more than just, the number of husbands she'd had and all that. She said to the people, He told me everything. Everything that I ever did, everything that ever happened in my life. But she had faith to believe that he, Jesus, could do something about it. His coming into your life can do something about the bondage and the circumstances. Amen. Those of you that have come to victory, brethren, look back in your life at the time when your life was a terrible mess. You wondered how you were ever going to get out of that. You hate to look back at that time because of the shame of what all this circumstance created in your circumstances. Amen. But we know that God can bring us out. So their first response was to ignore him. Amen. I don't think it can happen. Okay, it's a good word, but well, I don't know. It doesn't seem like he can do it. Pharaoh is way too strong. He's got too much power. We're in too much bondage. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. We've been praying and praying for years. What's happened? Just this guy come along and say that we can get free. Well, that was the first response. No, they finally did come to freedom. And let's look at chapter 14. And by the way, in the process of setting them free, Pharaoh put more bondage on them. Said, we want some time to go out and sacrifice. Well, you got a lot of spare time on your hands, huh? Well, we'll take care of that. Now you can cut the straw and you can do everything yourself. I won't give you that. And you're still going to have to make as many brick as the requirement is. So he increased their burdens. He increased their bondage. And this is not unlike Satan. When you begin to move to get free, it seems the pressure sometimes gets greater. The heat gets greater. But brethren, don't back off. Don't let God back off. He's not finished. He's still making the new man of you. Amen. And don't let it finish until you can say, God is in control. I'm going to be the new man. All right. So look at chapter 14. And they came up to the Red Sea. Now, the Egyptian army is, Pharaoh changed his mind. He's decided he doesn't want to lose all those millions of slaves that have been building his pyramids and his cities and whatever else he's been building out there in the sand. He's changed his mind. He thinks he can still have them. So there they are. The Egyptians are rushing in, and the sea is before them. Now, let's start here in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Well, what was the first problem? The first problem is they lifted up their eyes. Their natural eyes. They saw the natural circumstance. They saw the Egyptians. They saw the disease. They saw the cancer. They heard the doctor's pronouncement. Amen. Oh, here comes Pharaoh. He's going to wipe us out. We have no place to go. There's only this Red Sea in front of us. We can't swim across that thing. Moses, what are you going to do? And they said to Moses, oh, listen, listen. The ongoing theme, they're gonna mention this for years out in the desert. Because there were no graves in Egypt. Oh, we're all gonna die, we're all gonna die. There were no graves in Egypt. Thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Well, they weren't even in the wilderness yet. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? To carry us forth out of Egypt. Does that sound like a cry of faith to you? My God is able. I know my God is able. My God is able to carry me. No. That's not what they were crying. Amen. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? I mean, all right, it's pretty difficult, it's pretty hard. And we don't think we want to change. We're getting along. It's pretty rough, you know. We have to work 16 hours a day. Let it be. Let it be. We're still alive, you know. Let it be. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Come on. Egypt is sin. Pharaoh is the devil. What they were saying is, we've been serving the devil. He's got us under bondage. Let it be. Let it be. We don't know what this change involves. It's going to change our life. Everything's going to be upset. You know, we've got our religion. We're walking the way our fathers walked, our grandfathers. You know, we've got the beliefs of our great grandfathers. Just leave it alone. Everybody knows how it works. Now you want to come and upset everything for us. So let us alone. that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Well, talk about considering yourself dead in Christ. There was no such thing as reckoning yourself dead. They wanted to go back into bondage. So the first cry here, now we know the story. We know how Moses put his rod over the sea and opened the sea for them. And they went across the sea and let me come to the place now. All right, they got across the sea. They saw the Egyptians drowned. And let's take verse 31, the last one. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. There must have been a lot of them, a lot of bodies. Amen. Devil's agents lying dead all over the place. Amen. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Well, well, well. It says they believed the Lord. Come on, brethren. How long are you going to believe the Lord? For a day? Forever? Well, they believed the Lord for a little while. So let's listen. This is good. They believed the Lord. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he hath thrown into the sea. We know that song, don't we? Well, we have that song too. Well, that's where the song first started. Moses and Miriam and the children of Israel. Oh, they were so happy. They got a victory. They got their prayer answered. What a miracle. What a miracle. Come on. Who can ever stand in front of that sea and see that parted and go across in dry land, come out on the other side and see the sea come back in and take all the Egyptians with it? Who can ever forget that? I mean, how long would you forget that? How long would you remember that, brethren? Would that stick with you for years? Would you remember that for 50 years? Every time you get in trouble, would you not go back to that time and say, listen, I don't know how God is going to solve this problem I'm having today, but I know what he did back then, and I know he has a covenant. He intends to bring us in if we will yield, if we will obey, if we will believe, and I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be moved. He did it once. He's going to do it again. Whatever he has to do, he's going to get us in there. No. Well, they believed. They sang the song. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Amen. Well, that was a good day, a good time on the other side. They didn't have much belief on the Egyptian side, but on the wilderness side, it was really good. All right, so they're on their way to the promised land. Now, there's a few little issues in their soul that have to be dealt with before they're ready to fight the Canaanites. Remember, now God said he's going to bring them into a rest. They were not able to enter into the rest. Now, in the natural, did Joshua really bring them into rest? Come on, in the natural. Would you consider fighting Philistines and fighting Canaanites, sword, you know, in your hand day after day? Would you consider that rest? Pretty bloody battles that they were. No, it was not exactly rest in the natural. But again, they had to fight for it. You know, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking that what Jesus said, from John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, if we're going to come into the rest of God, if we're going to come into the fullness of sonship, brethren, There's going to be violence, spiritual violence that we're going to be involved in taking possession of that. And we're talking, first of all, about this land right here, me, this earth. I'm going to take possession of that. I am going to be in possession. Satan is not going to be in possession, but Jesus Christ is going to be on that throne. You know, it's either going to be Jesus on the throne or it's going to be the devil on that throne. No, it isn't going to be me in charge. It will be my soul, but I'm going to determine who sits on that throne. So let's go on. They had other issues they had to deal with. Now, come to verse chapter 15, and they're moving on. And come down to verse 22, I believe. All right. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. All right, they got a problem. 3 days with no water. 3 days without water, that's just about the maximum a body can go in the desert, in the heat, and with the animals without water. 3 days, just about the limit. Even if you're bringing your water jug with you, that's just about all you can do, unless you find a spring or a well or something somewhere. And the people praise God. No, it says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Well, wouldn't it be a good time to say, "You know what, brethren? God brought us across that Red Sea. And he can sure, let's give him praise here today. Let's just come and thank him and show him what grateful people we are." No, they murmured. By the way, do you know the definition of murmur? Murmur isn't screaming loudly. Murmur is just, you know, it's kind of like gossip. Well, what's Moses up to? What's he trying to do to us? Come on, Aaron. What's up? What's going on here? Look, we don't have any water. What, does he know where he's going? I mean, who's leading this thing anyway? Maybe we should go back to the sea. At least there was water back there. Come on, Moses. What's going on? All right, they murmured. So let me get this murmur verse here. Murmur verse 22. Let me go back there. And found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. By the way, the name Marah means bitter. The name Mary means bitter. So if you name your daughter Mary, I have a sister named Mary, by the way. She's a good sister. But I don't think my mother knew what these names meant. Well, anyway, Mary was the mother of Jesus, but the name means bitter. And they named the place Bitter because the water was bitter. It didn't have that name. It didn't have a sign up, "Welcome to Bitterness." They named it Marah when they got there. And the people murmured, okay, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet, where he made for them a stature and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So what happened here is again, they got tested. Why the test of bitter water? What was the meaning of that? What is significant about coming to bitterness and you couldn't take it? I suggest that because of all that bondage and that cruel slavery that they had been through, that they had built up a lot of bitterness in their heart. They had built up hatred. They had built up resentment. And they were kind of holding it all in. And all of a sudden, bitterness of drink, bitterness of water came up. And all that bitterness started out. Now, what is the significance of putting the tree in the water? I mean, there's nothing in the natural that says to put a tree in bitter water and it cures it. But this was a type, what do you believe that tree represented, brethren? Don't you think it was a future picture of the cross of Christ? He was nailed to the tree, and his crucifixion, the shed blood. Brethren, no matter what kind of bitterness is in your soul, he's going to sweeten it up. You know, brethren, I've seen two different kinds of people in my days, and I've worked with a lot of people. I've seen people that have been through very, very bitter situations, and they have not turned to Christ, and they are just as hard, and you call them hard bitten, bitter, hard people. Face is hard, their attitude is hard, everything is just bitter, bitter, bitterness. Amen. I remember, I don't know who she was, might have been an employee or something. Every time she had something to say, she'd spit something bitter out. In my own mind, I was about ready to nickname her Sister Bittermouth. Well, that was my thinking. She never came through. On the other hand, I have known people that have come through very trying situations. They've been betrayed, a marriage that just betrayed them, everything else. They could have come out of this thing, you know, take a woman. She could have come out of this thing just hating all men are evil, all men are wicked, all males, you know, even my sons, I hate them, you know, because of this. She could come out that way. Or she could come out and say, but Jesus, I've met Jesus. He brought me through. I have no bitterness anymore. And you know what? And she's never going to show it again in her life. I've known people like that. You can come out, brethren, without the taint, without the smell of smoke on your garments. Just like those three Hebrew brethren. They were put in the fire. They came out, not a hint of fire on them. They overcame it all. All right. And they came to Elim. Wait a minute. Did I miss verse 26? And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, he will do that which is right in his sight, and he will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of, listen to this. Brethren, listen to this. Let's lay claim to this. We who are sick, and I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'd forgotten that was in here. Brethren, these diseases, some of them, they don't belong to us. They belong to Egypt. Not that I'm wishing anything bad on the Egyptians, but still, I don't want their diseases. Amen? And you know what? When the next plague comes along, when the next COVID or whatever it is, let's just say, listen, my God, I don't want these diseases of Egypt. A thousand will die on thy right side, 10,000 on thy left, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. Here, somebody put a little verse up here. It says, I'm going to bring it up again. It's a little chat verse. Let me bring it up. Somebody put it. I'll read it. It says, for the ear of jealousy heareth all things, and the noise of murmurings is not hid. Therefore, beware of murmurings, which is unprofitable, and refrain your tongue from backbiting, for there is no word so secret that shall go for naught, and the mouth that believeth slayeth the soul, belieth the soul, belieth, slayeth the soul. Wisdom of Solomon. Amen. All right, well, that's a good little word to be added in here. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, amen, and 70, that's 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. So God gave them refreshing. 12 and 70, all good numbers, fullness, completion, a little reprieve for them. Well, it isn't finished. They're still not finished being tested. Let's come to the next chapter, 16. They're working their way toward the promised land now. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month. So they haven't been out very long, have they? They're just out there in the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of is the children of Israel murmured again, didn't they? They grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Here they wanted to die in Egypt again. Wanted to get in one of those old Egyptian graves. Amen. Oh, listen, listen. When we sat by the flesh pots. You see the word flesh? I'm beginning to get a hint here that there's some kind of lust involved in this. Okay? We sat by the flesh pots. And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, one way or another, God gave them bread. But wouldn't there have been a better way to come into this than murmur? You know, I think it's only the mercy of God when He takes care of us in the midst of our murmuring and grumbling and complaining. Wouldn't it rather be known that we came and we gave glory and thanksgiving and praise to the Father, and we acknowledged Him as the giver of all good things, the sustainer of everything that has anything to do with our life? Don't you think that we'll get a quicker answer to prayer by doing that than grumbling and complaining? Well, he said he did this to test them. Now, we find out we're going to go over to the book of Numbers, and the same little story is given here in the 11th chapter of Numbers. All right, I'll read it from Numbers here. It's verse 4. Chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. It says, and the mixed multitude that was among them. All right, what is this meaning of a mixed multitude? The mixed multitude means that there were Egyptians among them. In other words, they weren't all Israelites. They were some Egyptians that decided, hey, you know, we don't want to lose our firstborn son. Let's get under the blood with some of these Hebrew people here. So they got in, and when it came time to go out, they went out with them. So the mixed multitude, now they had no history of knowing the covenant. They had no knowledge of Abraham and Isaac. They had no tradition of that in their belief at all. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. Lusting for what? Well, first lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us flesh to eat?" They were getting tired of the manna now, weren't they? No, not the manna would have sustained them, but they got tired. You know, there's many degrees of lust, many things to lust over. It isn't just sexual things, but that's one. That's a big, strong one. There's a lusting for drugs. There's a lusting for food. There's a lusting for drink. There's lusting, and most of this lusting has to do with something related to the satisfaction of the carnal flesh, or at least what we believe will be a satisfaction. But you know, if it comes from the enemy, it's never going to satisfy. You're never going to be full. You know, they say that, I've never done this, but the people that take drugs, it always takes a little bit more the next time, and a little bit more the next time, and a little more frequently the next time. And it puts you down into bondage. Alcohol, sex, these things just hold the body in bondage. And what they're doing is they're lusting for things that are not available. Remember what the leeks and the garlics and the these are the kind of things that put the spice in the food. They're not necessary, but they put a nice spice, a nice flavor into the thing. You know, men that are unfaithful to their wives that run around on them, you know, it isn't that they're not getting enough at home. They're looking for spice. They're looking for some kind of a spirit to give them a high. They fell to lusting. So the general theme here. Now, let me go over into Deuteronomy. There's a nice little verse here in Deuteronomy. He tells what he's up to in all this thing. Deuteronomy is sort of the summary book. We come to the area of the fifth book, and we shall say Moses writes this book, and he summarizes everything now that they've been through. They're just about ready to cross over. Everything. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. And it says, well, let's go back to verse 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might, why? What was the purpose of that? That he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. So he fed them with something that their fathers knew not. What kind of spiritual food are we eating today, brethren? You go back to your natural fathers if you want. What did they believe? What was their faith? Or your grandfathers, what was their faith? Well, maybe some of them were Christians, maybe they were heathen, I don't know. Nevertheless, he's feeding you with something that your fathers did not know. Now, I grew up in a church. I grew up in a church that believed in salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what? There's a lot of things they didn't believe. Well, they didn't come right out and say they didn't believe it. They just never went there. They never talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They never talked about the kingdom of God. They never talked about coming into sonship. They just preached the good old outer court messages. They were true. But we are feeding on things, brethren, that they never fed on. They didn't know what, and when we mention some of these Maybe to our fathers, they raise their eyebrows. Oh, son, what are you getting into now? We didn't need that. Our pastors never told us anything like that. Well, God said, I fed you in this wilderness with something that your fathers did not know. And I did it to prove you and to test you. Are you going to believe or are you not? Because if you do believe, I've got a reward for you. You can cross on over into the fullness of the measure of the promise that I made to Abraham. You can be the one to inherit that. All right, so let's move along here. So he had to test him with food, and I'm not going to go into all that. You know how it was, the little birds that came in, and they were just they actually. It filled them more than they needed. Quail, yeah, the little quail. All right, now we come to where we are really going to hit the where the rubber is, shall we say, is really going to hit the road. This Kadesh Barnea, they're up to the border now. It's taken them 2 years, 2 years of testing and proving, 2 years of finding unbelief, finding murmuring, complaining, this type of thing. Now they still have an opportunity. Now you can still go in. Let me read a little bit from the 13th chapter, verse 25. All right. And the 12 spies have gone on into the land. They found what the land looks like, and they've come back with their report of faith. Oh, why did God send 12 in the land? Why didn't he just send them across? Again, I believe he wanted to test them. He wanted them to know that giants may be in the land to hinder. Isn't that the song we sang today? Though giants may be in the land of hinder, well, then what was the next verse? God has surely given us victory. He wanted them to know that there were some good things over there, some real blessing, but he also wanted them to know that there was going to be some fight, some opposition. The devil is going to fight you, brethren. You know, the devil probably can't take away your salvation. He can't turn you to that. But you know what? If he can get you so tied up with your troubles that you will not be able to operate in anything to serve him, that's all he cares about. Just to tangle you up so much in your fears and in your unbelief and your circumstances and everything else, just get you so tangled up that you will not be able to follow and fulfill the purpose that he really has called you for. It might be nothing more than getting you tangled up in your work. Just work, 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 workaholic. He might get you tangled up in some hobbies. He might get you tangled up in joining some organizations, the Lions Club, the fire department, whatever it is, you know, just something to draw off your time. If he can do that, he's satisfied. He's keeping you from becoming a son of God. All right, where did I say I was going to start reading? In verse 25. All right. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. 40. What's 40? The number of tribulation, the number of testing, the number of trial, amen, 40 days, and they were tried. The 12 were tried. Now they're going to come back with their report, and their report is going to try the congregation of the people. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. That's Kadesh Barnea, amen. That's up at the border up at the northern border there of the wilderness, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. By the way, the grapes were just coming into fullness, and so they cut down one cluster. Hello, brethren. One cluster of grapes. It was so heavy that they had to put it on a pole and rest it between the shoulders of two of the men. Have any of you ever seen a cluster of grapes that weighed 100 pounds? So the proof is there. There is a land of good things, even in the natural. Good things. He didn't promise to make them all millionaires. He promised to take care of them. Amen? And they told them and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." All right, well, why didn't they stop right there? They said enough. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Nevertheless, oh, there's that word. That word of doubt. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Yes, the devil's strong. The demons are strong in our regard of strength, but in God's regard of strength, no, they're nothing. But in our way of seeing them, these things that bind our soul, they're strong. They've got a strong hold on me, brother. You get rid of that demon, you're going to get rid of half my soul. Amen. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. They're hidden behind these barriers, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Oh, we've heard about Anak. The children of Anak, these are giants. These are big people. Amen. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. Well, they're still dwelling there, aren't they? Amen. And Caleb stilled the people. Just calm down, everybody. I've got something to say. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." So we've got two sides. One side is fear and unbelief, and one side is faith and courage. Amen? But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land. Now, you could say, well, it was just the facts. I mean, the fact is, these guys are 10 foot two. You know, the fact is, this one mountain is full of those big guys. The fact is, they've got iron chariots up there. The fact is, no, come on. You're talking, these facts are not the truth. The truth is, we are well able to overcome. So they thought they were telling the truth, but they were bringing an evil report. Come on, I might know something bad about your past. I might say, oh, I know what he was like 20 years ago. Oh, let me tell you. Now, come on, this is just a fact. It's in the record. No, come on, that's not the truth. The truth is, he's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't have that in his land anymore. So, they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. It'll just chew us up and spit us out like a big dinosaur. It'll just chew us up." Amen. And we saw in it are men of great stature. They're bigger than basketball players. Big guys. And they know how to use the sword. I would stay away from. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. In other words, again, they're imagining themselves unable to overcome. Now, I know we're talking in the natural here. Come on, you're going to have to apply this in a spiritual sense to your circumstance. Giants may be in the land to hinder. Amen. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. The people wept all night. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, we can't make it. Oh, it's been 2 years out here. Now we're going to have to go back to Egypt. Oh, what are we ever going? Oh, my goodness. Oh, everything is lost. It's all gone. All my hope is gone. Oh, listen, they carried on like that all night long. Wasn't there anybody to spread a word of faith among them? Oh my goodness. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Well, whose fault is it? We're going to have to blame somebody. Let's blame that Moses. We told him way back, we don't want to get involved in this thing. Leave us alone. We're okay. We're getting by. It's that guy's fault. That prophet guy. Bringing us out here, that apostle, whatever he was, bringing us into this word. Amen. Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Well, according to your word, that's where you're going to die. They said it. They said it. It was from their own mouth. Would God we had died in the. Yeah, you will. You won't go in. According to the word of your mouth, you made your confession. That's what you're going to get. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And we're going to have to take some action here. We can't just murmur all night. We're going to have to do something about it. Come on, everybody, let's make a new group here now. We're going to quit these people that are talking about overcoming and sonship and all that. Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Hey, what a great idea. What a wonderful idea. Let's go back in bondage. I mean, won't Pharaoh be glad to see us come? What are there, a couple million of us out here in the desert? And come back to Pharaoh and say, Oh, Pharaoh, we're so sorry we left. We want to be slaves again. You know, whatever you want to do, you can punish us. But here we are. We have a new captain now. And oh, my goodness. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Well, let me read a few more verses, okay? And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. You know, I have never rent my clothes in a situation like that. But you know what? In the situation they were in, if I thought it would do any good, I might actually try it. You know, some of these clothes we wear, I don't think you can tear them anymore. It takes a lot of power to tear them. But they showed their grief. They rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. In other words, they're not talking about the evil report. They're talking about the good thing that's there. The good thing, amen. If the Lord delight in us. Yes, see, this is a word of faith. If the Lord delight in us. You know what Elijah said? If I be a servant of the Most High. Then let fire come upon them and their 50. If I be a servant of the Most High, if the Lord delight in us, get yourself in a place where the Lord will delight in you. Amen? When you come before the Lord in pray, continual praise and thanksgiving, you know what? The Lord delights in that. He's going to delight in somebody that comes into his presence in that manner rather than murmuring and complaining. In spite of your sickness, come to the Lord and say, oh God, I thank you. I don't know what you're doing, but I thank you and I believe and I know that you are well able to deliver and overcome this giant that has hit me. Amen. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. If anybody's going to eat anybody up, it's going to be the other way around. They're going to be bread for us. Amen. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them. Oh, I've got to tell you a story. Where it says here, their defense is parted from them. Oh, my goodness. How many years ago was it? Maybe 30 years ago, when I was with Sister Janet, her granddaughter, somebody had come to bring charges against her father. They were going to take the child away. They were going to prevent us from ever seeing the child again, taking us to court. And the night before, the meeting up in the courthouse, we went to prayer, and in a prophetic word, the Lord spoke to Sister Janet and said, their defense is departed from them. Well, that was the word of the Lord. We went into that courtroom, and you know what? Before the judge, the attitude of the judge was completely changed. The lawyer brought forth the facts. The facts were not supported by the accusers, and the whole thing was turned away. And the devil had a plan to take that child and put that child into some kind of bondage. Their defense is departed from them. I mean, Joshua has the word of the Lord here. Amen. And but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. Well, the Lord gave them a word, and the word was, all right, this generation. We talked about this generation a while back, didn't we? What's going to happen to this generation? Which generation are we talking about? This 43rd generation, or the not the 42nd generation. This generation of unbelief is not going to go in. You're going, for every day that you spend searching the land, you're going to spend in the wilderness. So he sentenced them to 40 years in the wilderness, every man over the age of what, 40? I believe it was 40, was not going to go in. No, it was 20, wasn't it? Yeah. Every adult that cried out and murmured in unbelief, you said you couldn't go in, so you're not going in. You're going to die here. You say, would to God we had died in the wilderness. Okay, that's where you're going to die. Now, did they actually spend 40 more years? You might say that God shortened the days, because it was actually 38 more days, years that they spent. So in a way you could say, well, it took them 2 years to get here. So God gave them credit for time served. That's what they call it. When the prisoner's waiting for his sentence, the judge sentences him to so many years. If he's waited for 6 months, he gives them credit for that 6 months. All right, you've already served 6 months. 38 more years. Now, by the way, that was not the end of their rebellion. Why were they unable to enter in? I want you to think about that. Why were they unable to enter in? In Hebrews, it says they were unable to enter in because of unbelief. But you see, as we're coming across the Red Sea and all that, the last 2 years, a lot of terrible things found out in their soul. Oh, just for interest, after they got the sentence from God and were told they were going to spend 40 years, they said, Moses, I think we've changed our mind. We're ready to go in now. We think we can go in. We're ready to fight the Amalekites. Well, come on, let's go up the hill and do a little battle. But the cloud and the mercy seat, it didn't go, it didn't move. But some of the people tried to move. They went up there to fight. They got driven back. No, God is not with you. You're just going to have to take your sentence now, the rest of your 40 years. Oh, there was another little event, and let me just read a few little. It happened right after this. Right after this, Korah, rebellion of Korah. He didn't believe in the calling of Moses and Aaron. And he raised up a rebellion against it. Got 120 other men besides his own family group. And they came against Moses and Aaron. It says in verse 15, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said to Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, and also an Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them, and laid incense therein, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of Moses and Aaron. Just a few more verses here. Amen. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. See, there was a time of separation here. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and thou wilt be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak ye unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. That's the tabernacle of rebellion. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. And they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. Their whole family, wives, innocent children, are going to be affected by the rebellion of these fathers. Do you see that? And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me." See, if he's saying, if I be a servant of the Most High God, amen. If the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Amen. And that word is Sheol, by the way, hell. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, into hell, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, and they said, "Let the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord. So it wasn't just these three families. It wasn't just them. There were 250 others that were with them, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, "Speak to Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed." Well, I don't need to read anymore. You understand what I'm talking about. Now, let me just summarize. From Hebrews, it says, for we see, I'm not quoting it exactly, that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. I went through all these stories to show them, to show you, it was unbelief, but what was the cause of that unbelief in their heart? It wasn't just a spirit of unbelief. There were other spirits, spirits of bitterness, spirits of lusting, spirits of rebellion, all kinds of spirits in the heart, in the soul, keeping them from entering in, hindering them. Now, the purpose of God was to give them all the land. I've got a couple other verses I want to read, because you know you're hearing this on the news a lot lately, and you're hearing this term what's the group over there? The Gazites. What's their military group called? The Hamas? Yeah. And they're marching around in their parades and carrying their little flags, and they're going into the universities and taking over the rooms and demanding this and demanding that. And they're demanding that I almost call them the Hittites, that the Philistines that are there now, that they can possess the land from the river to the sea. And they've made a chant, "From the river to the sea, from the..." You know what? They've got it wrong. The river to the sea was first promised to Joshua. You say, "Brother Mark, yes, I'm going to read, there's at least five places, but I'm going to read two of them to you. I'm going to read it in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24. And this is the word that the Lord gave to Joshua. He said, "Every place where the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon," that's up in the north, "from the river," the river Euphrates? I mean, come on, one place it says Jordan and the other place it says Euphrates. They could have gone all the way from the Euphrates, but they didn't try. I mean, is this a misprint? From the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall your coast be, and there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Now, here's an example of the devil trying to take a promise that was not given to his people. All right, let me give you one more. Joshua 1, chapter 4, it says practically the same thing. Joshua 1, verse 4. It started in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, that's up north, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Well, they stopped at the Jordan. Actually, a couple of them went over the Jordan, but basically they stopped at the Jordan. But there's another river beyond that called the Euphrates. Amen. All the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, which is the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man, flesh, no flesh, be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Okay, I'm going to quit at that. Now, there's some pretty good word there. They could not enter. Brethren, that's not going to be said about us. But let me turn the recording off. Oh, Rita says it's Numbers 14, that 20 years and up. 20 years and up. But we know that Joshua and Caleb made it in. Don't know what happened to their wives. I know that Caleb's wife died. Now, I hope she didn't die because of unbelief. Anyway, stop the recording.